live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, two more walk-in testing centres are opening in County Donegal. The HSE says it needs flexibility with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to stop hundreds of thousands of doses being wasted. The Deputy Chief Medical Officer has been praising the efforts of people in Donegal in driving down the rate of COVID-19 in the community, but the backlash continues against comments made by the Chief Medical Officer on Friday last. The HSE says there are no question marks over the future of the St Connell's Hospital Day Centre in Letterkenny, and it will reopen when feasible. And the Taoiseach says the government is deeply alarmed at proposals for amnesties for killings committed during the Troubles by British soldiers. Later on, Kenny is here with sports at around 5:15, and as it's a Thursday, that'll be followed by Chris Ashmore with farming news and views. But we begin with confirmation this afternoon that two more walk-in testing centres for COVID-19 are opening in County Donegal. One is located at the GAA Centre of Excellence in Convoy. It will be open on Saturday, Sunday and Monday, while the centre at the GAA Club in Carndonagh will open on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of next week. The Convoy Centre is open to people from the Lifford Stranorra electoral area, while the Carndonagh Centre is open to people from Carndonagh North in a Shone electoral area. Mick McGrath, the chairperson of Donegal GAA, has welcomed the opening of the two test centres and reiterated his message that all in Donegal should adhere to the COVID regulations. He acknowledged the various Donegal squads who have rescheduled activities to facilitate the HSE. He also paid tribute to CLG Carndonagh for their cooperation with the HSE, and he also confirmed that Donegal squads are wearing tributes to frontline workers on their training kits at the moment. A picture of one of those on our website, along with more details about the testing centres. That's on highlandradio.com. People are being urged, meanwhile, to avail of the walk-in COVID test centre at Milford Mart, which continues to operate this evening and tomorrow. The centre was established as part of an enhanced response by the HSC to COVID-19 in Donegal. So far, they say there's been a slow uptake at the testing centre. Anyone who's asymptomatic but believes they may have been exposed and lives within a 25-kilometre radius of Milford Mart can get tested at the centre up until tomorrow. The centre manager is Judith Midlin.
We are there today and tomorrow, the 6th and 7th of May. We're open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're asking anybody in the Milford electoral area within approximately 25 kilometres radius of the Milford Mart to attend for a test. The testing is opened for anyone who's asymptomatic, who has no symptoms of COVID, or they feel that they've been exposed to an infection in the last 2 weeks. All they need to bring with them is photographic ID, and it's a very straightforward procedure.
It's vital that people do avail of this resource while it is in place in order to help contain the spread of the virus within the county.
Exactly, Michaela. We're trying to identify as many people as possible with COVID-19 to try and curtail the spread of it and support society reopening in the next few weeks.
Judith Midlin there speaking to Michaela Clark. Well, the HSE says it needs flexibility with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to stop hundreds of thousands of doses being wasted. The latest advice from the National Immunisation Advisory Committee is for the jab to be used in over 50s. A revised rollout plan submitted to government could see those in younger age groups offered the one-shot vaccine as well. The HSC's chief executive is Paul Reid.
It's to keep the momentum going of the vaccination programme as we have it, to continuously progress down to the ages, which is government policy, to utilise all available vaccines to the various age groups that we have to supply to, but looking at the volumes as they come and are back-ended, particularly for the Janssen vaccine, we would need the flexibility to administer below the ages of 50 for some of the Janssen.
Well, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer has been praising the efforts of people in Donegal in driving down the rate of COVID-19 in the community. There was a huge backlash after the Chief Medical Officer said on Friday that non-compliance with public health guidelines in Donegal was resulting in dangerously high levels of the virus in the county. Dr. Ronan Lynn says the majority of people are compliant and a lot of work is being done locally. However, he says there are still concerns around the high incidence rates.
We have concerns because incidence in Donegal has been above the national average since last September, with the exception of a couple of weeks. We've concerns because the positivity rate in Donegal is above the national average. We've concerns because the local director of public health there has repeatedly been telling us about different outbreaks linked with funerals and wakes, with up to 80, 90 cases, workplace outbreaks with 20, 30 cases, 18th birthday parties, 21st birthday parties, 40th birthday parties. These examples are not unique to Donegal, but they're an issue in Donegal at the current moment.
However, Dr. Tony Holohan's comments last Friday continue to have a knock-on effect in business, it's been claimed. James McGinley of John McGinley Coaches says he's received a number of cancellations from people from other parts of the country since Friday, with one particular group deciding to vacation elsewhere. He told the 9 till noon show today that as a result of the comments, he's being forced to fight for the future of his business.
This group would have been staying for 5 nights, 6 days. They would have been based in Letterkenny. They would have visited, you know, Glenveagh and then Inishowen, and, you know, they would have been all over the county. They would have been in coffee shops for their lunches. It's definitely disappointing. Now, we are working with them. We've sent them a long email to try and encourage them to hold off on making any decision for a few weeks and see how things pan out. And as I said, I haven't heard from them since, but certainly it's putting us in a place where we're having to fight for the business to come to Donegal rather than it to come naturally. I mean, a group that was pre-booked, the work was done on our side, you know, the booking was made, the marketing was done, and it was a done deal. It was only a case of bringing them here and reap the rewards, but unfortunately they're heading in the opposite direction.
7 cases of the Indian coronavirus variant have been confirmed north of the border. The North's chief medical officer says the news isn't entirely unexpected and plans are in place for such an eventuality. Dr. Michael McBride added that confirmation of these cases does not mean that the variant is going to become the most prevalent or dominant strain in the North. Earlier, 102 new COVID-19 cases were confirmed in Northern Ireland, with no additional COVID-related deaths. The HSE says there is no question mark over the future of the St Connell's Hospital Day Centre in Letterkenny, and it will fully reopen when feasible. This week it emerged a man who'd been attending the centre for over 20 years has recently received correspondence stating he was no longer under the care of the mental health team and the support he was receiving was being withdrawn. The day centre has been closed due to the COVID pandemic, but the vice chair of the Regional Health Forum West, Councillor Jerry McMonagle, says as of yet no plan has been set out for its reopening.
The day centre at St Connell's was closed at the time of COVID last March, and that was very understandable. And ever since, I've been looking to see when it will be opening again, and is there a route map for it to open from the HSE? But unfortunately, to date, there hasn't been any positive responses from the HSE on that. And then just lately, I was made aware that one of the gentlemen who attends the daycare centre on a regular basis was given a telephone diagnosis where it was felt that he was doing quite well, and the support that he was being given since the day centre closed down were no longer needed. I just find that very concerning because, as we all know, during this COVID time, all of our mental health has been tested, and I'm concerned that people who were in receipt of support from the HSE are now having their supports withdrawn.
In relation to this gentleman concerned, it's believed that if he needs to access the services again, he has to go through a GP and request a referral. Now, we all know that these referrals could take months.
Yeah, and this is a gentleman particular who lives alone. He's very isolated and lives in a rural area and would need these help supports. And the day centre was a great place for him to visit. He got to meet people. He got the support that he needed. And not just for this gentleman, but there's a lot of people who attended the day centre on a daily basis that enabled them to live independently within their local communities. And I've just had a concern since last year that this service will no longer be provided. And despite the many times that I've asked the HSE, they have yet to give me a roadmap back to the day centre becoming operational again.
Well, in a statement to Highland Radio News this afternoon, the HSE said there are no discussions within the Donegal Mental Health Service in relation to closing the centre. They say they have and will continue to provide the highest standard of care they can within the available resources and COVID guidelines. They say all day centre staff throughout the county have continued to attend work throughout the pandemic and have endeavoured to engage with service users at every opportunity. The statement concludes the options of gathering in groups for meeting indoors has been very limited for some considerable time, but they say hopefully with the increasing availability of vaccines and the decreasing numbers, care options can be revised as the summer progresses. Other news, in the Taoiseach says the government is deeply alarmed at proposals for amnesties for killings committed during the Troubles. The British government is said to be examining an amnesty for incidents that took place before the Good Friday Agreement was signed, particularly in terms of killings carried out by members of the British forces. Well, Leo Varadkar told the Dáil the government here would not support such a move.
This would fly in the face of the Stormont House Agreement, would fly in the face of the New Decade, New Approach Agreement. And anything like this would have to have the agreement of the parties in Northern Ireland. And it's something that we would not support as a government because we stand with the victims and the families who have been bereaved and damaged as a consequence of these actions. And they have a right to know what happened and they have a right
to
justice.
Thank you,
and whether the murderers were British soldiers or Republicans or Loyalists, they should be brought to justice.
Thank you.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has moved a bill in the Dáil today calling for a referendum on the lowering of the voting age to 16. That would be in line with the recommendation of a report on the Convention on the Constitution back in 2013. Moving the bill in the Dáil, Deputy Pringle told members it's a very important issue.
My bill is a simple constitutional amendment bill which would put the question to the people of Ireland on whether or not they agree to amend Article 16 of the Constitution, reducing the age of eligibility to vote in Dáil elections down from 18 years of age to 16 years of age. This change, if accepted by the people, would mean that people could register to vote from the age of 16 years on and be allowed to vote in all elections, including referenda. Estimated figures suggest that it would be upwards of 126,000 young people eligible to vote, with perhaps up to 5,000 of those in Donegal.
And you can hear the whole of Deputy Pringle's submission in the Dáil today on our website, highlandradio.com. The Housing Minister has been told that mica-affected homeowners in Donegal feel let down with the current redress scheme. Concerns have again been relayed in the Dáil over the 10% contribution cost of the scheme, with claims homeowners are being asked to pay amounts running into hundreds of thousands of euro. Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin raised the issue, calling for intervention from banks to help meet those costs. The Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, admitted there are issues, but gave no commitments that there'd be alterations.
There are issues with regard to size of homes and various things. The scheme in itself, if I could say, and I would encourage people still to engage with it, I think this is important. Right now at this stage we've 378 stage one applications. 308 of those are in Donegal, 70 of which are in Mayo, and nearly 60% have been approved. So it is important that people continue to engage with the scheme. It is in its infancy, and when I was in Donegal with that, I did say to people this will be a multi-annual scheme too. It's going to take a number of years to fix the problem that we have in Donegal and in Mayo.
You referred to the pie rate scheme for families in Dublin and North Leinster. That was 100% funded, and we've always felt let down in Donegal that our scheme is 90% funded. The difficulty right now is that if you look at the issue of the limits for a complete rebuild of your home, it's working out that it just isn't economic. They've got to make up not just the 10%, but you've got to pay VAT. Why is that?
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
5:15, and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and the name of Jonathan Sexton is a notable absentee from the Lions squad named to tour South Africa. The Irish captain had previously toured with the Lions in 2013 and 2017. Also missing out is Sexton's Leinster and Ireland teammates James Ryan and Gary Ringrose, but eight Irish internationals make Warren Gatland's squad of 37. Bundy Aki, Robbie Henshaw, Conor Murray, Tadhg Beirne, Jack Conan, Tadhg Furlong, Ian Henderson and Andrew Porter will all travel to South Africa. The Lions attack coach Gregor Townsend says leaving out Sexton was their toughest call.
Yeah, really tough. I think Johnny showed against Scotland and England that he's one of the best 10s in the world. So not only shows the quality of player we have in our squad that Johnny doesn't make it, it probably shows what we think will be a huge physical demand on each player out there with the games that come. And he's been unfortunate to miss out because of those reasons.
Elsewhere, Ian Henderson, he captains the Ulster side that plays Munster at Thomond Park in the Rainbow Cup tomorrow night. Will Addison will make his first start of the season at outside centre. For Munster, Dan Goggin makes a first appearance since January, with Johan van Graan making eight changes from the win over Leinster. In Olympic news, Irish Olympic and Paralympic athletes will be vaccinated. That's ahead of this summer's games in Tokyo. The athletes and support teams will receive the Pfizer jab. That's thanks to an agreement between the pharmaceutical company and the International Olympic Committee. Donegal have just one athlete qualified for the games so far. That's Brenton Boyce in the walk. Moving on to soccer, and Donegal native Brian Dorian is to take up a role in Donegal under the FAI's new structures for grassroots football. The Killybegs man has been appointed the FAI High Performance Director for the county. Brian has spent the last 5 years at Sligo Rovers, where he worked first as a coach and then under-19 manager. In 2018, Brian became the first team manager at the Showgrounds for a two-game period prior to the appointment of Liam Buckley, as he led the club to a win on the final night of the season. In other news, the Republic of Ireland ladies will begin the World Cup qualifying campaign away to Georgia. Vera Pauw's side will play their first game on September the 17th. Their first home game will be against Sweden on October the 21st. Only the 9 group winners will qualify for the finals directly, with the runners-up entering the playoffs. Tonight on the pitch, Arsenal will have to overturn a 2-1 deficit at home to Villarreal to set up an all-Premier League clash in the Europa League final. Defender Kieran Tierney could make a return to the side for his first time since suffering a knee injury in the defeat to Liverpool in early April. Alexander Lacazette is also in contention after overcoming a hamstring issue, but centre-back David Luiz is unlikely to feature. Manchester United, they're 6-2 up on Roma ahead of their second leg in Italy tonight. Both games kick off at 8 o'clock. In another news, Aston Villa, they have offered to host the All-English Champions League final between Manchester City and Chelsea. The showpiece is due to be staged in Istanbul at the end of the month, but Turkey currently has the highest number of coronavirus cases in Europe. UEFA is still committed to hosting the final in the Turkish city. Up in Scotland, St Johnstone, they'll be without 4 players for their Scottish Cup semi-final because of a COVID-19 outbreak. The club has confirmed that 2 players have tested positive and 2 are isolating due to being close contacts. Their latest round of tests have all come back negative. In golf, on the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry and Seamus Power are all on the field for the PGA Tour's Wells Fargo event. It's taking place this week in North Carolina. McIlroy and Lowry tee off shortly. Power's out around 7 o'clock Irish time. South Korea's K.H. Lee, he leads on 6 under par after 15 holes. In Europe, meanwhile, Tom McKibben shot a first round 69 for 2 under par on day 1 of the Canary Islands Championships in Tenerife. Jonathan Caldwell carried a 70 for 1 under. On the course at the moment, Niall Kearney is 2 under through 13. Cormac Shervin 2 under after 11. And Paul Dunne 2 under after 9. Spain's Adri Arnaus is the clubhouse leader on 7 under par. And in cricket, an interprovincial game taking place in Eglinton between the North West Warriors and the Munster Reds. The Warriors won the toss and bowled. They bowled out the Munster Reds for 219. Currently, the North West Warriors are 80 for 1 after 14 overs. They need another 140 runs to win off 29 overs. And finally, for this evening, on the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news here in Highland, we'll be looking at League of Ireland action with former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan. He's joining Oisin Kelly as Harps head to Bohemians, and Derry, they host Longford this coming weekend. Plus, the inter-county Gaelic game scene starts on Sunday when the Donegal Hurlers hosting Roscommon in their opening Division 2B opener. We'll be hearing from Donegal manager Mickey McCann and the now retired hurler Joe Boyle. That's the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. And as it's a Thursday, it's time for Farming News and Views. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up this evening, we'll hear about big changes on the way in farm payments over the next 5 years. But first, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has issued a reminder to farmers that the deadline for submitting their 2021 basic payment scheme applications online is midnight on Monday. And this is also the deadline for the related submission of applications for transfer of entitlements, the straw incorporation measure, the areas of natural constraints scheme, the protein aid scheme, and those interested in the Young Farmer and National Reserve schemes. Now, the department has been helping farmers in making their applications in recent weeks, through its telephone help desk services, and the lines will be open for additional hours from next Monday, and the telephone number is 0761 064420. That's 0761 064420. Meanwhile, the deadline for farmers to apply for the results-based environment agri pilot project, known as REAP, is also fast approaching. Catherine Keena, the Chagas Countryside Management Specialist, has urged farmers who are interested that the deadline is next Monday. That's the 10th of May. And in line with the new public health measures announced by the government on the 29th of April, Bordbia on-farm audits can recommence on the 17th of May. Members of the sustainable assurance schemes for beef, lamb and dairy will now have the option of an on-farm audit or a remote audit. Both on-farm and remote audits carry a maximum certification period of 18 months. On-farm audits have been suspended since the 30th of December. The Department of Agriculture has calculated how upcoming reform will change farm payments over the next 5 years. Following the release of a new modelling analysis from the department, an Irish Farmers Journal analysis shows that thousands of farmers face a huge hit to their direct payments under the next cap at 85% convergence. Barry Cassidy is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal and has been studying matters in detail. I spoke to him earlier and I began by asking him, do Donegal farmers have much to fear from what's coming down the track?
The Department of Agriculture has released modelling that it's done of various different farm payments, just, I suppose, ahead of the cap conclusions at a Brussels level, which are due to occur at the end of this month. And they're looking at maybe setting aside about 25% of direct payments for eco schemes and also setting conversions at 85%. So they've modelled three different farmers. And I guess depending on what your payment is, it'll have a various different effect. So if we look at maybe someone on the minimum entitlement value that currently exists out there of €160 per hectare, they're probably looking by the end of 2026 to be no better or no worse off, in terms of they'll still be receiving about €161 per hectare. So essentially what's happening is in 2023, 25% of their entitlement will be taken out and put into an eco scheme fund. And then over the next three to four years, convergence will add that money back on and bring it back up to €161 per hectare. And now, I suppose it's important to say that there is also still the opportunity for that farmer to access an eco scheme in order to boost their payment. If you're on someone on the other side of the perspective, and that would be, I suppose, maybe a typical livestock or tillage farmer who was quite productive back in the reference years at about €400 per hectare, they're looking at about a 42% cut over the lifetime of the next cap. And again, it's the same factors there in terms of the 25% for eco schemes will cause a major reduction in 2023, dropping the payment down to €270. But convergence, I suppose, is working against them then for the remainder of the policy, as opposed to the guy on €161. Convergence will then see their payment drop down to €233 per hectare out in 2026. So I suppose that is a significant loss. Now, look, the same applies in terms of they will still be able to access eco schemes, but I suppose that will be more so just covering the gaps rather than adding an additional payment for that farmer.
Now, for those people listening who mightn't be too au fait with the details, maybe from a non-farming background, just in simple terms, the whole conversion process, what's the thinking behind it?
Yeah, so convergence was introduced in the last cap reform in about 2015. And essentially what we have here in Ireland is various different payment rates per hectare, as a result of when payments originally were linked to production in terms of how many cattle you were producing, etc. And then it moved to an area-based payment in around 2001, 2002. So we have every different farmer, I suppose, receives a different entitlement value. And what convergence is aiming at doing is bringing all those entitlement values closer towards the national average, which currently stands at €265 per hectare. So those receiving above that have seen convergence reducing their payment, while those receiving less than €265 have seen convergence increasing their payment. I suppose it's in reflection of maybe, as we look across the EU, there's a lot of different countries, I suppose up to 19 at this point, who just pay farmers on a flat rate basis. You know, you're talking maybe the newer Eastern European countries and also some of the bigger countries, the likes of Germany, have all moved to flat rate payments. And that is the direction of travel over the coming periods. I suppose there was a recognition there that doing that overnight would have a significant impact on farm payments. So we've seen that pain or benefit, I suppose, extended out over the last couple of cap reforms. Now, there are still some people at an EU level in terms of the European Parliament are seeking a full flattening or 100% convergence. The Council of Ministers, which would be represented by our own Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, are seeking a lower rate of 75%, but have offered 85% as a compromise between those two positions. So it'll be interesting to see what the final negotiations throw up. But I suppose what you can say about convergence is that it's something that's likely not to, full convergence is something that's not an if, but rather so a when.
So ultimately, there's going to be winners and losers. The feeling would be in Donegal, perhaps we may get more winners.
I suppose that's the nature, I suppose, of convergence. We are still working with the same cap budget of 1.2 billion, and essentially what convergence is doing is just moving the money around various different farmers. I suppose traditionally a lot of the Western Seaboard had farmers who are maybe on smaller payments, reflective of the fact that the land is maybe more marginal and maybe couldn't carry as much stock as maybe that of the southeast and the south of the country. So traditionally you would have seen a much higher proportion of smaller payments in Donegal. I mean, we have over the lifetime of this cap seen a lot of money move into Donegal through convergence, and that is likely to continue over the next 5 years of the next cap policy.
Now, tell us a little bit about the carbon tax. What are the implications going to be for the farming sector?
Yeah, so I suppose I've been talking, I suppose, pretty much on the Brussels side of things in the European negotiations. But once they are signed off in May, there is going to be a much bigger battle, I suppose, at a national level in order to secure what's known as co-financing. So we do see the European Union provides about 2.4 billion to Ireland to finance rural development schemes. So that's the likes of GLOS or the Beef BDGP scheme. And what the Irish government has the option of doing is topping that up in order to, first of all, draw down those payments, but I suppose also boost the money available to farmers. The IFA has come out quite strongly this week and it's published its cap objectives for the coming period. And it's saying that it wants the government to maximise the co-financing obligation. And I suppose it's maybe to compensate those farmers who'll see big hits to their direct payment. Now, there is a concern out there among the IFA that the 1.5 billion in carbon tax that was ring-fenced for agriculture or promised for agriculture around the time of the programme for government negotiations could be used to meet that co-financing obligation. So what the IFA are coming out, and they're probably going to launch a strong lobbying campaign in coming weeks, is saying that that 1.5 billion must be kept separate and co-financing must be found from a different fund. And I suppose that's all focused on maximising the amount of money there available for farmers.
And finally, Barry, whenever there's talk about changes in the common agricultural policy, there's a long lead-in time, there's a lot of negotiations. It never ends up quite what is there at the start. So how far are we down the track now? When will what's on the table become definitive, and when will farmers know this is what I'm going to get in the next number of years?
This reform started back in 2018, so I suppose we're nearly almost 3 years into the process already. The European side of things will be done hopefully now in the next 3 to 4 weeks. I suppose politicians at that level are very conscious that farmers do need that certainty that you spoke about there. Once it's signed off on an EU legislative basis, that will provide an awful lot of certainty for farmers. I mean, we won't be talking about will it be 85%, will it be 100% convergence. We will know how much money will go for eco schemes. So that will provide the first layer of certainty. I suppose the second layer of certainty then comes from the national government, who under the next cap will be required to draft a strategic plan which sets out all the schemes and how the money that Ireland has been given will be spent. And that's where there'll be quite an intensive national lobbying to get people's different priorities in there and get them reflected. And hopefully there will be a draft of that in the summer. And again, that will be the second layer of certainty for farmers. And that plan will go to Brussels at the end of this year. The major kicking and shouting in terms of negotiations will be done by the end of this year, giving about a year of a lead-in time for farmers to prepare themselves for 2023 when the next cap begins.
And that was Barry Cassidy, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed. Chris, we're looking at the weather forecast in midair and tell us that this evening will bring a mix of sunny spells and variable cloud with a possibility of some well-scattered showers later this evening, mainly along northern coastal areas. Winds moderate to fresh northwesterly in direction, and they will ease as the evening goes on. Tonight will be dry with long clear spells developing in many areas. A chance of some isolated showers near some coasts. Lowest overnight temperatures -2 to +2 degrees Celsius with frost forming in a number of places. Winds light northwester variable. Tomorrow, cool and bright with a mix of sunny spells and some well-scattered light showers. Highest afternoon temperatures again 9 to 11 degrees Celsius in light northwest or variable breezes. Looking at the main stories this evening, and two more walk-in COVID testing centres are opening in County Donegal. One at the GAA Centre of Excellence in Convoy will open on Saturday, Sunday and Monday, while the centre at the GAA Club in Carndonna will open on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Meanwhile, people are being urged to avail of the walk-in COVID test centre at Milford Mart. It's open until 7 tonight and from 11 to 7 tomorrow. There are also, by the way, the opening times for the centres in Convoy and Carndonna over the coming week. The HSE says it needs flexibility with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to stop hundreds of thousands of doses being wasted. They want the jab to be used in under 50s. Seven cases of the Indian coronavirus variant have been confirmed north of the border, and the HSE says there's no question mark over the future of the day centre in St Connell's Hospital, Letterkenny. We're back with news at 6. Good evening. The opportune notices for this Thursday of the 6th of May. The death has occurred of Eunan Porter, Stewart's Care, Palmerstown, Dublin, formerly of 228 St Eunan's Terrace, Raphoe. Funeral will arrive at Eunan's family home in St Eunan's Terrace, Raphoe, tomorrow morning at 10:45, followed by funeral procession to St Eunan's Church, Raphoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the house funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on parishofraphoe.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Stewart's Care, Palmerstown, care of Kelly's funeral director. The death has taken place of John McConnellogue, Drumore Lower, Letterkenny. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by interment in Conwall Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people. Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Jim Midlin, funeral director. And the death has occurred of James E. Melly, Tomb, Letchermack Award. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Bridget's Church, Letchermack Award, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Sean Midlin, funeral director.